as you know, especially when you're small like me, you know, it's me and a couple of contractors I use and an assistant. And so I need that 2.5 hours to question the CEO and the head of sales or whoever's involved in that meeting. I need that time because there's a portion of the time I come back and I don't put it in the, I don't say it out loud, but this company is dysfunctional. They don't value this type of service. And I can find that out in 2.5 hours of questioning them and decide that, man, I don't want to work with them because I'm a small shop and I would just get buried with these guys. So I'm going to do this $700 project. I'm going to provide them a ton of value and I'm going to move on to the next thing.
All right, I'd like to introduce you to Matty McLean. Matty is, I think we first met in Colorado, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Our first meeting place. So you went to one of our retreats we did last year, the ski retreat, and we met there. We talked a bunch about kind of what I was really interested in and what I'm especially now interested in, which is kind of sales. That's your thing. But before I get too much into kind of the weeds of talking about, you know, road mapping in general and what you've been doing and so on, why don't you just give us a quick background about you, your business, and what you've been up to?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for the opportunity. I love the podcast and man, I've been following your stuff for a long time, so I appreciate it. Yeah, I studied entrepreneurship in school. Don't really know what that means because, you know, since once I got out of school, realized I don't think they can teach you how to be a freelancer or a business owner in school. You can't learn to ride a bicycle at a seminar, right? And so after I got out of that program, I went to work for a lot of small companies and startups. And we lived in Dallas, Fort Worth, and then we moved to Kansas City, and then back here to Texas, where we live now. And when we moved back to where we're from, I had just finished a book called Million Dollar Consulting. Do you know that book by Alan Weiss?
Yep, that was actually, you know, it's funny. That was one of the first books I ever read when browsing Barnes & Noble, trying to figure out how to start a consulting business.
Yeah.
And he's got a few books out, I think. He's got Million Dollar Consulting and then Million Dollar is like the theme, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's very big on selling value, not selling time. And yep. So yeah, that was one of the first books. I still remember I had worked for all sorts of small companies and startups. One of those companies sent me to Sandler sales training, which was the first taste I got of professional sales process, which I just fell in love with. And I closed that book, Million Dollar Consulting. And I still remember I looked at my wife and said, this is what I want to do. No one ever really told me, but I want to do what this guy does.
Right.
You know, which is, what does that mean? Well, I'm probably not going to work with IBM and 3M like he has. But here, where I'm from, I want to go into small companies and help them tighten the screws on their sales process and help them get clients. That's what I want to do.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I started cold calling businesses. I got a couple of clients and really just kind of...
So what were you selling them? I mean,
I didn't even know what to call it. the first company I called was a marketing company and I said, hey, I help people grow their sales. Do you guys need that? And she said, well, we're not hiring right now. And so I said, I'm going to go ahead and send you my resume. And so I sent my resume and, you know, my resume looks good because I've had a taste of all these different industries and different sales atmospheres. And so she called back and said, hey, yeah, we'd like to actually have coffee. So I met with them and pitched them and said, man, I'm just going to look at the inside of your business and try to make it better. And so that's what we did.
Did you have any clue about what you were doing in terms of, well, I mean, you did Red Allen, but did you like have a, in terms of what you were actually delivering, any sort of structure or was it all kind of just built on the fly?
Oh, I was clueless. Yeah, I was totally clueless. I mean, we just sat down day one and I was like, tell me what keeps you up at night. What's bothering you? And I have a creative side, but I also like systems and numbers. So I started looking at their numbers, you know, how much did it cost them to get a client? What was the lifetime value of a client? And we just ended up putting a big whiteboard on the wall and tracking projects and leads. And yeah, it was a blast. And so, yeah, from there, I've just continued to learn about that. You know, I told you at the ski retreat, man, if you can pick up that skill set of marketing automation now, you're a double threat.
Well, I remember our discussion quite vividly about how for a lot of the kind of companies you consulted with, the idea of augmenting, if you will, the manual sales process with whether it be educational emails or prep emails or whatever else would be almost like black magic to a lot of these businesses. And we had a good discussion about that. I think we were talking about specifically you getting into that. I don't know if you have or not. I'd love to chat about that too. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because what's funny is I guess I've been involved in sales since the beginning, right? I mean, when you're running a business, you're inherently a salesperson. Mm-hmm. And I've never sold software until now. And it's a very different thing when you're selling something that isn't just open-ended consulting, but instead mm-hmm. something more prepackaged. So I've been having, it's been kind of very interesting finding ways of like the similarities between the two and most notably the differences, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a very interesting experience that I'm sure we could talk about for a while, considering your deep experience in all things sales. But let's focus on the so you were when you first started selling these first clients, did you do a formal proposal process and something like that, or like what did the engagements typically look like?
Yeah. But the first one, I didn't have a clue, and they had never engaged with somebody like that. So both parties were kind of clueless. They were very graceful. And, I basically said, man, I don't know what I'm doing yet. I think I can help you. And so we agreed on a rate and we were off to the races. And then for the next couple of years, I wasn't clear on what it was I was doing. So of course, it's hard to carve out a niche when you don't even know what your niche is. And I would meet with a lot of people who were interested in what I did, and I would lose those prospects. Basically, I wouldn't win them because I wasn't doing a good job of telling them what I could do for them. We'd basically meet for a couple, they'd say, hey, I heard you're doing some work for so-and-so. Can you meet for coffee? And so we meet for coffee, and I wouldn't really know how to put into words what I would deliver. And so, obviously I wouldn't win a lot of that business, and it was frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing about it being kind of that discussion-based format, it sounds like, was you probably learned a lot about the type of people you wanted to sell to, which even though the early kind of ones were, I look at it as like, in a way, you're paying for data with time, right? Mm. Like you're not getting the clients, but you're probably learning a tremendous, more than you would ever learn if you were just heads down building a whole marketing site or something for, yes. Something. So I'm sure it wasn't as fruitless as it might initially appear.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. And and then after time, after I got more clear and heard, you hear that same conversation over and over, which is, my sweet spot client is someone who has a high value product. They would still be considered self-employed, even if they've got a couple of salespeople. This is a person who runs a business and has to do a lot of the selling and servicing.
Right.
And so you hear the same thing, no matter what industry, same thing comes out of their mouth. And so then I, like you teach, I could craft my proposal based on what they said. And so then when people said, what do you do? I could come back with the pain points and say, I help people with this, this, and this.
Yep. Which I'm sure helped with ultimately getting you more clients.
That's right. Yep. And then, I would say roughly 2 years ago, ran into the road mapping, which was a whole new level for me.
Well, let's talk about that. That's so specifically speaking, we talked about this before we started recording, but the purpose of really these interviews is to help people who are not yet road mapping in this case understand and overcome any objections that they might have to do something like charging for, upfront consultations or, mm-hmm. Offering road mapping or paid discovery or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. But what were, in your mind, what were the, when you first thought about the idea of saying, I'm going to have some sort of initial engagement that I'm going to sell that is going to be more of a scoping or discovery engagement, what kind of hesitations, if any, were there for you?
Oh, sure. You know, I think, you know, especially if your book of business isn't full, if just completely full, you have the immediate thought that nobody's going to pay me for that meeting because I have, there are 100 other people in line who would do that, you know,
for free.
That meeting for free.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the initial fear is, oh my, I'm never going to get another new client.
And what was the reality? I mean, how did you go about, what I'm curious to know is how did you, the first time you ever pitched it, if you can remember, what was different about the way the sales process worked?
Yeah, it was entirely refreshing because I was in a place, I had a fairly full book of business, but my frustration point was meeting with clients and, you know, you want to add value and impress them. And so you go off and do all this research and you ask all these questions and you look at their competitors and you build an outline of a sales funnel for them and you send that back to them in this great big proposal. And if they end up not working with you, then you kind of feel, you know, like, man, I just gave
them spent a ton of time. Yeah. And they, you gave them, you basically gave them like their marching orders.
Yeah.
And,
I gave them all my best stuff for free.
Yeah. But I mean, I think we see that as almost like a loss leader. Like we need to deliver. It's that whole thing of giving value up front and then getting value in return, which I do agree with, but I agree with it on a more, you know, at scale level, like give a lot of value at scale away for free, but then give the individualized value away, you know, at a price.
Yep. That's right.
So what did, you know, walk me through that initial when, you know, you had a new lead and you go down the path of talking about an engagement. What was the pitch? I mean, what was different?
Yeah. And so before we got on the call, I have listed the last 7 or 8 clients that I have won through road mapping, and I'm looking at them. I don't know which between these two, but one of them was the first one. And yeah, they said, like most people who approach me, you know, I don't do any paid marketing or anything, but I have a pretty strong email list following that I email once a week. And that has generated lots of leads for me. And then just being active in the community. And so, you know, a lead would come, let's say what's common is someone will reply to an email or shoot me an email and say, hey, a friend of mine told me what you're doing for them. What would it look like to work with you? Or we think we want to grow our sales. What does that look like? And so before it's like, oh, well, let's get together and I'll put it together a proposal. Mm-hmm. And so I had, you know, from the road mapping course, I had somewhat of an outline and I just said, hey, the first step in working with me is, you know, we would meet up. In the beginning, I would still meet with them either by Skype or in person and gather some data so that I could pitch the road mapping session. And since then, I skipped that part. But in the beginning, we would jump on a quick call. I would ask them a series of questions like, you know, how are you solving this problem now? Why would you want to work with me? What would be a home run? Things like that. And then I would pitch them on road mapping, which is, hey, I do a 2 to 2.5 hour road mapping session. In that, before we get started, I'm going to send you a series of questions. I've got to have that back before we start. Also, you've got to click this link and pay before we start. And then we'll go through the road mapping session, which is me asking a ton of questions and gathering a lot of data. Then I'm going to put together a summary of that, which is usually 2 or 3 pages. And that is what I think you guys should do over the next year. That's basically your sales and marketing plan.
Did you also include in did you do any of the fulfillment work if they wanted you to?
And so that is my pitch basically to everyone now is I'm going to charge you for that road mapping plan, $700, because, you know, before I've agreed to that, I have drilled down to their lifetime value of a client for them. So I'm always sure to say, look, we've done the math. If everything I give you can only get you one new client, it's going to more than pay for my services, right? And the, you know, the answer is always yes. So that's fairly easy. And then I say in that write-up that I sent to you, if it's appropriate for me to execute some of this, at the end will be my proposal to you. And sometimes it's totally not. Sometimes the answer is, you guys don't need me. You have this and this resource and go off and be happy. And, you know, 60% of the time it's me saying, here's what I think you should do. And here's the price for me to actually do it for you.
Okay. So to recap, your funnel became a lead comes in or you have a new prospect. You do some sort of small upfront free consultation. I know it sounds like you've changed that, but you did that at first. And then the goal of that, I guess, was to qualify them for road mapping. And then you pitch them on road mapping, and then from there, give them the deliverable. It, you know, if they buy, they're now a customer or a client, they get a deliverable of a report. And then from there, you upsell the bigger project.
That's right.
Pretty correct. Okay.
Exactly.
What kind of responses were you getting early on? Were they positive?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say there have been, in the last 2 years, there's been three or four people that haven't gone ahead and jumped onto the roadmap.
Wow. Now, did that surprise you?
You know, I don't think so, because once I've just changed the way, I didn't change it. You know, I had never heard, you know, honestly, before coming across the road mapping stuff that you put out, I'd never seen that, or no one had ever said, hey, you should charge for proposals. You know, I remember reading 10 years ago that the two silent killers of small business are employee turnover and giving too many proposals that you don't win, because those two things don't show up on your financials, right?
Yeah. Well, again, it's that whole loss leader thing. It's the whole like takes money to make money sort of thing. And the idea is it takes time to get clients. But, you know, it's funny, when I started doing it myself, we were doing basically web development projects for people. So, you know, quite a bit different than the kind of work you do. But we were used to doing really in-depth scoping and figuring out project requirements and even wireframing and so on. And, you know, my attitude was, well, our average client, you know, they're going to pay us $100,000. So I'll do it for that. Like it makes sense to pull some people, especially when I had more of an agency instead of it being myself, pull people off project for a few hours, get them in a meeting with a client, do this stuff, get them motivated and so on. But what was interesting was when it came to overall conversion rates went up because obviously we talk about this in the course and so on. This isn't meant to be a sales pitch for the course, but the big thing is that I'm sure, you know, as somebody who is very deeply embedded in sales organizations like you are, I mean, you know how powerful it is to offer somebody something that is almost like a bite-sized taste of something bigger. So whether that's, you know, in software, that's a free trial. You know, in our world, that's a small fixed priced, you know, you said $700 for a business, spending $700 is nothing. Mm-hmm. Because the big thing, and this is something I want to really drive home, it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently, is that I know a lot of us think purely in money terms and numbers, but if let's say I'm considering working with you and you're going to help my business in some capacity, well, it's more than just the money I'm going to spend on you. It's also the opportunity that I'm going to, you know, potentially miss out on if you do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I were to do it right from the beginning, that opportunity could have been realized differently, and also my own time and input. So it's more than just the sticker price, I think. It's a lot of different things. So by being able to offer something of, you know, this is a small taste that is not just it's something valuable, a deliverable in your case, that is fixed price, $700. You can basically put that on your American Express. That's a really nice, compelling offer that is the opposite being a, like, you know, client contract process with, you know, big deposit payment and, you know, all this stuff, right? That is intimidating. It's very hard to bite the bullet on that when you've never worked with this person or this company before.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know who, it's not my quote, but, you know, the hardest dollar to get from a client is the first dollar.
First dollar, yeah.
It's easy to go from, oh, we paid him 700, now let's pay him $3,000 a month. That's an easy jump when they've had value already.
Absolutely. And that's I've learned this more so ever since getting into more of a product-based business where, you know, a lot of companies will, especially ones that have price points of 4+ figures, they're not going to start with that. They're going to start with the, you know, $29 product. Mm-hmm. Because that first dollar is the hardest. And if I can prove to somebody who bought a $29 product that they got a multiple out of that, then the idea is as they move up that chain, that product chain, when they get to the four-figure product, they're going to think, well, you know, historically, whenever I put money in, I get more value back out. Mm-hmm. So if that equation remains constant, okay, like they've already kind of proved themselves in their ability to deliver value for money, right?
Yep. Yep.
So it's just being able to kind of maintain that in a maintain that tried and true funnel that's not new in a consulting practice, I think.
Absolutely, yes. And we forget, everyone assumes that, you know, five new clients is great, but when you're, as you know, especially when you're small like me, it, you know, it's me and a couple of contractors I use and an assistant. And so I need that 2.5 hours to question the CEO and the head of sales or whoever's involved in that meeting. I need that time because there's a portion of the time I come back and I don't say it out loud, but this company is dysfunctional. They don't value this type of service. And I can find that out in 2.5 hours of questioning them and decide that, man, I don't want to work with them because I'm a small shop and I would just get buried with these guys. So I'm going to do this $700 project. I'm going to provide them a ton of value and I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. I mean, like you just said, it's a good way for you to vet the client. It's a good way for them to vet you, obviously, but I think we don't always think about that. And on top of that, I mean, I've sold road mapping before where the end result is you do this, you're going to waste a lot of money and get not much in return, mm-hmm. which as a business owner, speaking for, in this case, other business owners, I can tell you that I appreciate that feedback when it's valid and well-researched.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, that's something else where I think a big part of road mapping and a big objection that I hear is that a lot of us don't trust our own abilities to actually impact an underlying business. We just want to be, you know, given a list of requirements and do them.
Yeah.
And this does require you to kind of step back and think, well, what's the big picture? And so, but I can tell you that even if you don't feel like you're an expert business owner, even if you don't feel like you have ever been in the shoes of your, you know, potential client, just you finding a way through conversation, ideally, to take your own industry experience, your own depth of knowledge that they don't have, and find a way to marry that to their own experience, their own, you know, industry and so on. That's where the magic happens. I mean, that's what they're paying for, right? And you can help them either completely avoid a big, costly, time-intensive mistake, or maybe find an alternate route that if they would have just said, hey, I need X, Y, and Z, and you say, great, here's a quote for X, Y, and Z, that might not be the right thing for them.
Yep.
So in terms of what I want to really get out of you, I've got an agenda, is you're really good at sales. So for those of us who are not self-identified sales experts, what are some other things that you think people should be aware of or consider when approaching the idea of selling paid road mapping?
Well, so as soon as I remember, right when I got the revelation of, you know, don't just give proposals, charge people, I was at an event and two people that I have worked with and that are I would call friends of mine. One lady has a web design company, fairly successful. The other guy is a very successful intellectual property attorney. And she was just saying in conversation that, oh gosh, you know, I feel like I've just been giving bid after bid and I've got some good bids out there. And she said, I feel like I meet with clients and I give them all these good ideas and then they don't hire me because a lot of her clients have in-house marketing people. And so she throws up all these ideas and then they never come back. And you know, now that I was getting paid for road mapping, I said, well, why don't you just decide what the little deliverable could be and charge for the meeting, charge for the brainstorming, you know, call it road mapping and charge for it and then send them some good things they could do next and then send them the really big things that they would pay you for. And, you know, she thought, oh my gosh, and I guess that's when it hit me. I don't care what you do. If you're a designer, a writer, a programmer, there is something, if you've been doing it for 2 weeks and you've read one blog post about it, you know more than the average client about that subject.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There is something. If you don't know anything, you could take the end of today to the end of today and decide what are the three things that after I had a great conversation with a prospect, I could send to them and say, here, do this. You probably didn't know about this resource, or do this, or use this plugin. That's going to add value. And then, I mean, basically you're ready to charge for road mapping.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just, again, it's finding, you hit the nail on the head there. It's finding a way to charge for value. And I think when we look at, to kind of come full circle to the beginning of the conversation, when we look at a proposal as being a valueless thing, as like a sticker, a price tag on a product, or in this case, a service, when you look at it as just that, of course, you're going to have a lot of hesitation around selling that, because you're just saying, you know, it's kind of like if I, the example I used to give was, if I'm going to get a new roof for a house, I'm going to go and court multiple roofing companies, right? And they're going to go and they're going to measure my square footage and all that stuff and basically put it on a quote kind of spreadsheet-ish paper thing, what my cost would be. But I don't see, you know, a quote is not a proposal in that sense, right? A quote is just a multiplication effort, mm-hmm. whereas a proposal is a, here's where you're at, here's where you want to be. Given my experience, given the discussions we've already had, the best way to get from here to there is this way. Mm-hmm. And here's the safest route to take. And that's what we're talking about here. It's not, if you're just thinking of, you know, selling road mapping as being, oh, I can design a website, it will probably take 100 hours and I charge $100 an hour. Mm-hmm. That's a much different thing than what we've been discussing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's to sell as human, you know, Dan Pink, which, man, this is my mantra. The world has changed. I think we're in the customer service era, and there's so much media and so much messaging. It's not enough anymore just to do good work. I think it used to be, you know, if you're a great builder or you're a great designer or writer, you could thrive and do okay. But now people's expectations are so much higher. I think you have to deliver an experience for people. And you're right. I think that starts with both sides having a drawn out conversation of what the problem is and who can fix it and how to fix it. I was going to tell you, for one of my clients, I was interviewing a few different agencies to do some work for us. And we're talking, you know, we're going to spend anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 a month. I talked to three separate agencies, and you know, nobody sent any type of questionnaire. We basically jumped on one of them, a 20-minute call, and basically that person saying, "Oh yeah, yep, I see what you guys need. Yep, oh, I see your domain. We can do all this. We can do all this stuff. It'll be $7,000 a month." And you know, I'm thinking, but dude, you don't even really know what the problem is. You don't know what we've tried before. You don't know what our work style is. All these questions that they haven't gathered yet.
Right, exactly. So to kind of come full circle again, and to kind of close off this discussion, in terms of lessons learned, if you could go back, you know, I know one thing you've already mentioned is you eliminated kind of that free upfront call. But if you could go back and change anything to kind of get you to where you've gotten to now, what would you have done differently? Are there any things, any you know, scraped knees that you would go back and kind of reverse?
Oh, yeah. I would have had a process and basically sold road mapping as I don't do anything first until I do road mapping, which I'm still headed in that direction. I mean, road mapping is the most fun work I think you'll ever do. Because everybody gets to, you know, throw out ideas and what ifs and dream best case scenario, and everyone's all giddy and happy by the end.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, it's you know, it's that kind of project high you get, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, I always get when discussing a new project. But the good thing is, you're getting paid for it. It's not just a like, you know, I mean, and what you're going to find also is that the clients, which is what they are now that they've paid you, they're going to take this so much more seriously than they would if you did this for free, mm-hmm. which is funny how that works, but it's true.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's another kind of like in a way, side benefit of doing all this. It's better for you. It's better for them.
Yes. So. Yeah. And I, as I'm answering your question, you know, there's 30 different plumbing companies in the city I live in, or probably 100. And one of the most successful ones charges to come out to your house and take a look and give a quote. 95% of them will do it for free. And these guys charge, I think it's $100. And if you decide to work with them, that $100 goes towards the project. And, you know, they're not out of business. They're not hurting. In fact, they're one of the biggest companies in town. And I think that's a clue everyone can take of.
It is very, very interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I've seen, you know, you see a lot of like plumbing companies and contractors and so on who have free estimates on the side of their truck. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we see the appeal of that, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see a competitor theirs who is not giving that away, well, what does that inherently tell you? Yeah. I mean, I would think that maybe, like, what are they doing differently that allows them to not, you know, plaster free estimates on the side of their truck?
Yeah.
Right. So yep.
That's right.
You know, it's something to think about.
Absolutely.
So Maddie, this has been great. This has been really, really, I love just kind of hearing backstories on people's journeys from getting into consulting and implementing things like road mapping and so on. If people want to either reach out to you or find out more about what you're up to, specifically if they want to kind of, do you have on your website any service overview page for your road mapping offering?
Yeah, well, you know what? By the time this podcast comes out, I will.
Okay, good. Even better. So yeah, I mean, if you want to, where can people find that when it's out?
Yeah. My website is makealotofliving.com.
Perfect. Well, Maddie, thank you for coming on the show.
Man, Brandon, thanks so much. I appreciate it.